the Living Farms podcast, the place where we discuss biodynamic practices worldwide for you, your farm, and the planet.
So, welcome to the Living Farms podcast. We are here today with Jean-Michel Florent, and I'm very happy that he's here, and we will talk about perception. Because Jean-Michel and I, we recently had a project about perceiving the farm organism, and we will also have an online course in September about perception and the farm organism. So we thought it would be nice to introduce you a little bit already to the theory of perception and to exchange upon this complex issue. So thank you very much, Jean-Michel, for joining.
You're welcome. Thank you for this podcast.
So let's just jump into the topic. You initiated the project about the perception, and why do you think it's important to have a project about perception of biodynamic farms or farming in general?
Yeah, it's nowadays we can see the situation for the farmers is really not easy. It will be difficult. It becomes more difficult every day, so to say. If I ask farmers what are your biggest challenges today, they will very often answer the climate chaos, the climate change, or the always changing conditions to work. So maybe it was always for farmers important to perceive the situation, to perceive the climate, to perceive the growth of their plants, the well-being of their animals. But now with the everyday changing situations, it's much more needed that they really perceive on a very on a very good way what is happening every day to help to accompany the soil, the plants, and the animals. Otherwise, they are suddenly surprised and they get a big disease, and it's too late, so to say, because with biodynamic farming or even also organic farming, we don't have such pesticides, and we can destroy disease. So we have always to avoid. We have always to prevent. So it's one aspect on this importance of perceiving. And there is maybe one more aspect we would like to develop, so to say, the individuality of the farm, the individual aspect of every farm everywhere in the world, so to say, every place is different. And for this, you should really perceive, you should really look at your place to be more and more in connection with this place and to understand the very specific aspect of the place. So you can compare with other places, but you cannot take the same recipes, so to say, from the colleagues. You can take some ideas, but you have really to adapt them to your place. Maybe it's colder on your place, or maybe whatever, the soil is different, and so on.
And some of the farmers also reported that their farming decisions are much better when they really train this perception, because when they are trained in perceiving the farm, and in particular the farm organism, they could avoid to make mistakes, and they could really increase their outcome of the decisions they made. So I found that quite an interesting aspect as well, that if you train the perception, it saves you time at the end for your farming activities.
Yeah, I think it's very important, and it should be efficient. It's not perceiving for tourism. It's really to be more efficient at the end. Yeah.
In between, I will always read some of the quotations of the interviews we had, because I think it's good to let the farmers speak for themselves. And one of them said that perceiving and experiencing the farm organism makes farmers more confident in what they are doing. And if they are making good decisions for their farms, it helps you to not stress about an overflow of information or too many outside opinions, but instead makes you confident in making your own decisions. So what do you think about this statement? Like, what resonates with you?
There is something like a interesting bridge between the perception, what you can perceive on the farm, and then the decision. It's not linear. It's not you have perceived and then you know what to do. Very often, and we could see it also in the interviews, you have really to jump, to dive deep in the perception of the farm, so to say, and then you get a lot of you are connected then with your place. And then you get good intuition, so to say. But it's not directly. It's not, I perceived and then I have a good idea. It can be, but the biggest decisions and the best intuitions and or ideas how to transform something are not coming on in this way. But there is something in between that you have to transform it inside. And then wait, and suddenly some new intuitions are coming. So it's a very interesting process to look at.
That's true. And I think what this growing your confidence is connected with making decisions on your farm. When you train yourself to perceive your farm, and then you do decisions that are having a better outcome, then as a farmer, you also grow then the confidence to continue to farm and to really, really stand by your decisions that you're doing, so to say. And maybe now it's the time that we can go into the anthroposophical understanding of perception. And here Rudolf Steiner developed a very special system, I would say, that is not comparable to nowadays understanding of perception and to other perception theories. I found that very interesting. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit on this, like what his perceptions on perceiving the outer world are. Or the inner world sometimes also.
It's one of the first research Steiner did. What is knowledge? What is knowledge about the world? His first book is A Theory of Knowledge, actually. Small book he wrote. He was, 23. And then he developed it in other books, and it was really the foundation for his work. And it's important because it's really a clear basis for his work. And in this, to be more not so abstract, He explains how do we relate to the world. If we awake in the morning, for example, first we perceive, or we have the experience, we experience different things. We can perceive smells, for example, good coffee smell in the room or in the kitchen or whatever, or light and so on. So we perceive a lot of things through our senses, and it's really given from outside. It comes to us. We have to open our senses and then it comes to us and it's given. But the interesting thing is that Steiner explains, if you look very closely, you can also perceive feelings. You can suddenly get a feeling inside and say, okay, the place where the feelings are happening, it's not outside, it's in myself, but these feelings are also something given from outside. I can suddenly have a feeling and okay, and then I can realize it, but it's first it's given. Okay, joy. Okay, or I don't know. I'm And even some thoughts can be also perceived first, can be experienced, so to say. Yeah, I. And then the question is really how to deal with these experiences of senses. Okay, I smell something, of a feeling, and how can I try to understand what is it? And then I have to think, and then I have to be active. But the important thing is at the beginning to be aware that first we experience things or feelings or even thoughts as given from, so to say, as given from outside without doing anything. It's given to us. And for a farmer, I think it's very interesting to say, okay, I on my farm, I can make the experience of a lot of senses, perceptions, shapes, colors, smells, taste, and so on. And then the question is, how can I understand them? But it will take time. First, I have really to be aware of these perceptions and not too quick say, what is it? And not too quick. Very often we say, oh, okay, this smell, it's coffee and that's it. But it would be much more interesting to say, which kind of coffee smell? Or even don't say it's coffee, but how do I perceive this and to deepen the perception? I think the first, and it's really the theory of Steiner is really to avoid to make a too quick interpretation of our perceptions and to say, okay, it's coffee, okay, it's light, okay, it's red, okay, it's, but to look, to dive in the quality, to take time to make the experience broader and deeper, to have a deep experience of our sensitive perceptions and even feelings. Which kind of feeling is it? What does it, which quality and so on? Yeah.
I think what I found also quite interesting was that when I started working with that topic, that he has so many, that he makes us aware of so many different senses. Like he has this 12 different senses, and normally we just think of this kind of, okay, smell and taste, that's clear, and maybe then you have the sight, or like being able to see as a sense. But he's really going into this like 12 senses that you can perceive and perceive as a human being. And then he relates them to your will, to your feeling, to your thinking. So that's quite a strong classification, and often I think they're interrelated. But I found that quite interesting, because in other theories, also nowadays in medicine, we don't have this like broad variety of perception. So it's rather narrow. And I think when you are on a farm, you can perceive so many different things. And that's great about his theory, that he really gives us the opportunity to widen our perception and to say, okay, there are so many senses that we can recognize on a farm.
Yes, and I think we can also take it as a hypothesis. Huh? We shouldn't say, okay, Steiner said it's like that, but try to take this as a hypothesis. And then I try to make it in different workshops. And it's interesting, because then you see that you can differentiate more the different perceptions. Huh? Okay, I have the sense of life. That means I feel alive, or I feel a little bit weak. But this sense, I can also use it. I use it for myself to feel how I am today. I am healthy and full of vitality, or do I feel a little bit weak, and so on. Yeah, it's a sense, sure, but it's a whole sense. But we can also use it to look at a tree, for example. And every, I would say, every good farmer can, by looking at his plants or trees or whatever, say, oh, okay, this plant is now a little bit weak. So something is happening, or maybe not enough water, or maybe not enough manure, or maybe not enough light, or whatever. So this sense, life sense, is not one of the five senses, but it's very obvious to work with this. I mean, everybody can realize in the morning by awakening, how do I feel? Full of vitality or a little bit weak? And we can use it to look at the plants or the animals. And actually, the farmers do this, but they have to get more confidence in this and to use it maybe on a more differentiated way. But it's nothing new. It's really to realize that it could be a wonderful tool. And then other senses, but this, for example. Yeah.
And then he also differentiates the senses into inner senses and outer senses, and those that are kind of mixed, so to say. So I think that's also important, that we realize that some of the senses are just belonging to us in a way and help us to really perceive our inner world, while others are more outwards in a way. Could you elaborate a little bit on this differentiation?
Yeah, it's the first presentation from Steiner, as you said, inner senses, but the sense of life I described just before is actually for Steiner, it's an inner sense. But I tried to present that you can use it as an outer sense. So you can first, you feel it for your body, but you can also try to develop these and then use it also to feel or to perceive, actually, to perceive, to be clear, to perceive the vitality of a plant. And then there is this sense of balance. How do I feel in balance, or so on? You use maybe more if you close your eyes, and so you feel your balance. But you can also use it if you look at a plant, at a tree. Yeah, does this plant grow in balance, or is something not really in balance? Is too much shadow on one side, and then the tree is growing like that, and so on? Then you can really use it also to look outside. So these inner, we can use these inner senses and develop them also to look outside. So, and it's very interesting. It opens a lot of new possibilities, a lot of new exercises, so to say.
So you can really use this to connect with your surrounding landscape, so to say, on this sensing level.
Yes. Yeah.
And then when we started to draw out the project, then we realized the difficulty, so to say, of our current system and how research in particular, or also, how the farming decisions are trained also nowadays. And then we realized, you mentioned it already a little bit, but I would like to go into detail a little bit more, the connection between your feelings, your perceptions, and your thoughts, and how these different aspects lead to results and actions on your farm. And there, I think this was one of the aspects which I really enjoyed about the project, realizing this, that in our research that we have at the moment, we are mainly going on the thought level. So that we think that a farmer has a certain thought and then he's just directly implementing a certain action or result. But from our experience, we realize that it's probably much more complex, so that sometimes as a farmer, you are perceiving some things or you are feeling something, and then out of this, you kind of go into an action or into a management decision, so to say. And when you also look at this training system that we have at the moment, so the educational system of agriculture, then you will also realize that this perceptions and feelings are not at all considered. So this is something which is not at all trained in traditional schools, so to say, but rather the farmers learn that this kind of thought level, so that you have, for example, a certain soil and this needs to have a certain PhD, so it's based on data and facts. And it's based on what kind of chemicals you should use or what kind of plants are good for which soil. But it's not about this intuitive feeling and perception and connecting with your farm. And I found that quite interesting because we also had this during the interviews that some of the farmers said when they are just on this thought level that they may just do decisions also in biodynamic farming which are not good for their farm organism. So I will give one short example here, but for example, one of the farmers, they said they planted sugar beet roots. No, sorry. And so this deep rooting plants which are for sugar production. And and this was not good at all for their soil. But they read this and said, okay, as biodynamic farms, we should have this kind of crop. And they did not really were at this moment in connection with their farm organism. And then the farmer said, yes, and this is actually just this only thought-based decision lead to very difficult soil management problems in the longer run. So they really had to build up afterwards the soil. And I found that quite an interesting example, that if you're just on this thought level, that you can really make wrong decisions for your place, even when they're maybe sounding good at the beginning.
I think it's really very often the case on farms today, because the farmers can get subventions, can get subsidies, so to say, for certain crops. And it's every, 5 years or so, new things you can grow and then you get money for this. And it's really a big problem, I would say, because then yeah, you have to plant a lot of, I know the example of south of France, too much vineyards, then you have to take them away and then you get money for something else. And then you get one more, and then sometimes later you get money to plant new vineyards and so on. So you are, it's worse than even thoughts. It's something coming from outside, from a big political system. And this system doesn't give the farmer really the possibility to enhance, to develop on his farm the best crops, the best possibilities. Some tried in Switzerland, for example, for these environmental subsidies. But even in this case, they have to look if you need these kind of trees, of fruit trees and so on, then you get more money. If you have too many trees on this other place, you get less money. So it makes a strange thing that you are looking what can help to survive. But then you lose more and more the concept of your farm, the organism of the farm, and then you look more for what can bring me more money than what can be good for my soil. So I mean, we are in a, and I don't say with this that the farmers shouldn't take these subsidies, but they should take them out of holistic perspective of their farm, and then they can say, okay, I have a concept of my farm through my perceptions, what I see, what could be good for the farm, and then I can maybe plant one crop because, okay, I will get more money for this. But the other way is very problematic. And then the farmer is not more responsible for his decision, so to say, at the end. And it's not more connected to the place. And I think it's a big, big danger also for the autonomy of the farmer. So it's like going from one side to the other.
And that was really astonishing for me when we did this project, that the people also said that the farmers that we interviewed also said that it's really difficult to share this kind of practice of how to be more driven by perception in their decisions, but instead of trusting the science. And one of the interviews said, I feel like it is difficult to share the spiritual practice openly in our times without being considered as crazy. It feels like agriculture is more science-driven and based on facts rather than the connection with the spiritual forces of nature. And another interview person also said that people are scared to show how they connect with their farms. Shame or guilt might stop them from sharing their experiences. And that was a point where a little bit my heart was broken in the project, because I found it so sad that these biodynamic farmers, and we really interviewed people which are a long time in the practice, so they are not, let's say, yeah, so they're a long time in the practice, and I would say they are proud biodynamic farmers. But still, they are afraid of sharing these practices for perceiving the farm organism and talking openly about it. And this is why I really enjoy doing this now in the podcast, that maybe other people that feel a similar way, that they hear a call for connecting via perceiving the farm organism or your farm, that they might be encouraged to do so. But why do you think are other reasons why farmers are afraid of really connecting with this perception of the farm?
I mean, Farming or agriculture is now more is really, I think in the past it was more an art, so to say, an art in the sense of doing something out of yourself in connection with the place, but create something new, like art, yeah? Together with the nature. And now farming or agriculture is really seen like you have the science, you have agronomy, you have farming sciences, and you have to implement this. You have to make this on your farm. And so you are, as a farmer, you are more and more somebody who is only doing what the science says, so to say. Also, it's what we learn at school. And I have also to say, I think we could see that this kind of, I could say science is the new religion, and science in a very, in a narrow way. I mean, biodynamic farming want to be scientific, but scientific in a very broader way. It's the reason why we explain what is our theory of knowledge. To be scientific, that means for us to be clear on the processes. Where do we get the informations? Where do we get, how do we get the new ideas, and to follow it? But at the end, I think, and it's interesting because we see this with the, as you said, with the good experienced farmers. There is something like art. That means a lot of farmers, and sometimes also vintners, for example, because the wine presents this quality of specific quality of the place, hein, terroir, and so on. And some farmers explain, I have really to be in connection with my farm. I have really to be speaking or working with another organism. I am one organism or one individuality. I have my farm individuality, and through the co-creation, then we can make products which are really authentic. We are really specific from the place. And it's really very different. It's like create a new art, piece of art. Yeah, every year, because the weather is different and so on. Maybe it could help to go in this way and to say, okay, actually, farming is not science. Farming is art. But it's provocative today to say this. But it could be a way, yeah, to make it better and understandable for the people, for the consumers, because I think the consumers can more and more consumers can really understand this. They're happy with it when they have a good meal, when they have good food, when they have good drinks, and when they really can feel the specific quality of every bread or cheese or whatever. It's like a piece of art, and then I enjoy it because it's something different. It's not always the same. From this farm, it's different from the other farm. It's not industrialized food. And I think it could be a way to go in this, and then to give the farmers more confidence. Actually, you are working more or less like artists, and the artists are not asked always to explain, is it scientific what you do? But we say, yo, wow, wonderful. I mean, or not wonderful, it depends. But yeah, when good piece of art, it's wow.
So that's a good idea. And in biodynamics, we sometimes like to make provocative claims. so maybe we can.
I know it's provocative, yeah, but only to think about.
Yeah. And I mean, it reflects quite well what some of the interviews also said, that this new aspect of perceiving your farm is taking time and really asks you to also change yourself. So it's something where you really need to be willing, so to say, to also reflect your own inner thoughts and to try to do it again and again and again. And I'm sure we will do a second podcast on how to train your methods and perceiving the farm organism. So I won't go into that detail yet, but I think you're right. It takes time and it asks the farmers to also consider themselves, and that may be challenging for the common practice, so to say. And another aspect was also this. I think you mentioned this with a self-confidence. This question of if your own feelings or perception as a farmer is the right one, or if you're just so to say mirroring something that you feel. And I think that's an interesting question, because it raises the question if there is an objective perception possible, or if it's anyway always just a subjective. And maybe we can elaborate a little bit on this, because I think Rudolf Steiner also had a very specific thought on this, which I found quite valuable in this question.
I mean, the seeking for objectivity is a new one. No? It came with modern science, and if we take this really at ideal, then you have to say all senses, perceptions are subjective. It's a little bit the problem. It's what Descartes said, the colors and the shapes, the smells and so on, it's all subjective, so to say. What is really objective, it's only figures. So the weight and the length and what you can transform in figures. But it makes the world very narrow, so to say. Then you have a very gray world with molecules, with figures, with but no colors, no smells, and so on. No heart, yeah? And the big question is how to develop a scientific way to also to take all the qualities, I mean with qualities, colors and sounds and smells and taste and what I can feel and so on, and to study them in a scientific way. And it was what Goethe tried. Goethe developed, and Steiner worked further on this. And then maybe we can explain it like that. There are two aspects. One aspect is for sure that it's, as you said before, every person, farmer who wants to make this path of this research, kind of research, should really learn and work on himself to be always aware of what do I get as perception from outside, and what do I put from myself as interpretation and so on. So very often we react, we smell, and we say, oh, I don't like or I like. It doesn't help to understand really what is the quality of the smell. Or we say it remembers me, the smell of the room from my grandmother. So it also doesn't help. I mean, we have really to learn to characterize, to go to describe the qualities, yeah, as good as possible. So the first thing is really to learn the tool for qualities. We are the tool to perceive qualities. We cannot take pictures or tools like my, yeah, we are the tool, and it's a little bit the problem. How can we develop ourselves so that we really are open to the perceptions from outside and reflect them? The first thing. But at the end, we are all a little bit different. We have all a little bit different view on the world. So I would say the second aspect to go towards objectivity, so to say, it's to make it as a social process. And it's very interesting because in biodynamic farming, in different countries, we have farm talks. And in the farm talks, some colleagues are coming on the farm, on a biodynamic farm, and they go for a walk, and the farmer should present his work and so on. But the colleagues are like a mirror. They are mirroring what they see. And I think this kind of work is really wonderful. That I want to say, we need a social process to be sure that we don't invent that we really look at the reality of the perceptions and not think, oh, okay, it's like that or like that. We can dream. But together we get something intersubjective. It's not really objective, but it's intersubjective. So there is really, I think, a good, we can in this way have a good mirroring of the perceptions and then describe them together. And we make a lot of, I mean, there are a lot of people who are doing workshops with this together. So the two aspects, the own development of every farmer, it's very important to develop always. It's not you have studied at the university and then you are agronomist and then you are ready, you know everything and you can implement it. No, it's really a path of development, a path of, you have to make it every, you can develop it always, or you have to develop it. It's a very important aspect of from what Goethe said. You are on a path of development. Science is not, you are scientific and then just use it. And the second thing is really to work with colleagues, I would say. Yeah. Or with consumers and so on, or other people. No?
Yeah. Yeah, so it always takes, I mean, for me, I worked in social science for some time with the farmers. And for me, what you describe is that before doing the interviews, I always try to make myself, so to say, really empty and like get rid of all of my experience and my background and my knowledge, so to say, and then try to really take in everything that is coming from the outside. And then, of course, sometimes you need to differentiate if this is really from the outside or if it's still a part that you haven't managed to get rid of, so to say. Yes. So that's sometimes challenging. But I also feel that with the exchange with the others, you can quite well validate your own perception. And this is was for me also very impressive. I once did a workshop with Thorsten Ahnken, who's our colleague from the natural science section at the Goetheanum, and he's doing this methodology where you paint, so to say, the quality of the smell of a plant. And of course, the colors were not exactly the same throughout the participants, or it was a little bit different shapes sometimes. But let's say the general quality of a plant was perceived quite similar among the participants. And I think that's something that we can recognize in different areas of perception, that when it comes to the quality that you mentioned, so this like bigger picture, so to say, then the perception is quite similar. And I think that can give us as human beings also a kind of security in a network, that your perception is not completely different from those around you, and that you can kind of interact with your feelings and perceptions of a place. And it's just more a question if you allow yourself to have access to this kind of quality. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really nice. For those listeners, I will link the perception projects into the show notes. And if you would like to learn more about the farm organism and perceiving the farm organisms, I would also like to invite you to the course of Jean-Michel and me on the farm organism for planetary health. It will start in September 2022. It will be an online course, so you're warmly invited to this. And yes, thank you very much, Jean-Michel, for this fruitful exchange. I really enjoyed the project that we did, obviously, but I still like the discussions with you about this project. And I'm very grateful for your insights on this anthroposophical background of perception. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn.